Oh, the pain. Agony. I'm dying here.
The agony?
I'm dying.
I don't know. I don't get it.
I'm dying here. Hey, you know, this is the first forecast that we've actually done from a hospital bed. And I want to thank all the nurses. Because I don't know that I've ever been in traction doing a podcast before.
That's true, and I don't know that you are now. So
ow.
What the heck are you talking about?
This is Eric Brixen.
And this is Alan LaVigieu.
And I'm doing my first podcast from a hospital bed as I was in a severe motor vehicle accident today with Alan LaVigieu driving.
It wasn't a severe motorcycle, okay, a motor vehicle accident.
Yeah, all right, fine.
So I ran over a curb.
Yeah, a curb. Yeah.
Yeah, it was and, 2 feet and high, just a but little... it was a curb.
Quick note to insurance agents. Don't let your guys back up through a drive-thru.
Well, they didn't have milkshakes.
Well, so. point taken.
When you need a four-part blast, listen to the Barbershop Forecast. You'll always know the score in part. Beg for more from all the knowledge you've amassed. That you will be aghast, cause it downloads to your hard drive mighty fast. So strike up the band and give them a hand for Eric and Alan's Barbershop. It's unsurpassed and here at last, the Barbershop Forecast.
You know, actually, this is kind of a banner day here, Alan, because we are back in the Forecast West headquarters in the APG studios, back again, finally, in this lovely studio.
Oh, yeah, from the studio where we had our quartet rehearsals and everything else
for you. We did
a lot
of
stuff
here. Yeah, this is...
Yeah.
It's nice to be home. I'm glad not to have been doing this from
your
sitting
small
in front of
office, now you're doing it from the small garage studio. Yeah,
hey,
pretty cool. Except
not garage.
I'm not there.
It's a studio.
Oh, it is strictly a studio now.
It's a studio.
But I'm not there. I'm still in the same place, but at least my room now is clean.
Well, that's a good thing. Hey, let's get on with it.
Cleaned up over the weekend.
Let's get on with it. We've had a lot of stuff go on this last few weeks. I did a couple micro exams. I did a physiology exam.
And now
it's time
to do a
forecast. Well, let's start with some E stuff, Alan. Some electronic.
E stuff? That would be like Eric stuff? Oh, electronic stuff.
Electronic.
I get it.
Yeah.
Electronic stuff.
Electronic.
Okay.
You know, that's a drive. And I have to apologize, Alan, because you and I had a time set for us to do this. And again, anyone that's looking, it's 12:49 a.m.
Yes, it is.
Part of the moving back into the studio. You know, you always have those bags of wires and boxes of wires. You know you're a computer geek if you have a box of wires. Well, when
what
I
does
move,
it make me? I have four boxes
you're
of
a turbo
wires.
Geek. Well, I could not
One's
find my bag of
power
wonders.
Power cables and yeah. Okay.
Well, let's talk about the new electronic stuff. We have some great stuff going on the web. Frapper.
Yeah.
Frapper.
Yeah. Isn't this cool?
I got totally a message dig from, Frapper.
I got a message from this guy that listens to us, and we've known for a while. A guy by the name of Derek says, total useless waste of time, but a kick. A lot of fun. If you don't know what Frapper is, it's go to our website at 4-cast.tv and click on the link that says, you know, show us where you are. Frapper, it's frapper.com/forecast. Just take a look and see what's there. It's
just
a map.
Fun.
It's kick. You put your picture up there if you want to. Put a map on the map. Show where you're listening from.
Yeah, let's see.
Make
can
a comment if you feel like it.
Let's see I don't if
know,
I can
we got 30 some odd people.
Take a look at it because I normally do this off of two computers and Alan has a couple computers running here, but I'm actually going to go to the Frapper site because there are. We have people on the board. It's just like a big, if you had a board on your wall, a big map, and you had a bunch of push pins, and you put those pins in every place, every IHOP that you've eaten at, or every whatever. It's kind of like that, only different.
every IHOP you've eaten
well, at? Well, you know, if you're in the South, it's a Waffle Hut. If it's, you know, I don't know. Gosh, where do we, the furthest one I think that we have here is in Australia. Is that right? So we have 31 people signed up on this. Someone
Which
in
is
front of the
cool,
Boston Common. That's cool. So take a look at that. That's just one of those fun, neat things to do, I think. But then again, I'm a little weird. What else is new on that webpage?
It's not necessarily new, but people, I don't think, realize that we do have a mailing list that gets, you know, first information for stuff. And, you know, it's not a mailing list that gets lots of things. You get maybe two a month from us, but go to the forecast.
Maybe two a month. You know, only when we, you know, have a podcast.
Only when we send out a podcast or something else. Anything that comes out that we think is cool. We sent one out for Frapper. We send out stuff that we think is cool that relates somewhat to barbershop. It's not a Harmonet or anything else like that. Just kind of keep you up to date on what we're doing.
Part of that whole the Frapper thing and seeing that, because I actually sent out an email, which if any of those 40 people had got it, I know I spelled educators wrong. It was a joke. Anyway. Anvil Chorus in the UK had us listed on their links page. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, if you've got forecasts listed anywhere on your webpage, let us know and we'll mention you. By the way, the Anvil Chorus did not just a little bit of a link. They did an awesome, you know, serious mention about forecasts, and we think that's pretty cool. So thank you guys out there, and thank you, Lacey, who is the gentleman that is out there doing that for us.
Lacey, you know. Thanks for finding Craig, too. And yeah. I suppose we could say to all barbershoppers and Craig out to sea. Anyway, Craig is, as you know, wrote one of our little tags here, and he's in the Merchant Marines now, I guess, so that's kind of fun. Let's see, Podcast Alley, have you checked on that? How are we doing?
Yeah, so far in November we have 17 votes and we're ranked 213th. So,
that's,
you know,
fantastic.
That's not that great.
17 though. I don't know that I voted though. That's,
yeah, and vote every month. So vote right away, please. Assuming this gets out by the end of November.
It'll be out tomorrow. And you know, there's that donate now button too if you're enjoying even if you don't enjoy this, just hit the donate now button and give us a couple bucks. Keep the lights on. That'd be sweet. So, boy, where do you want to go from here? Where do you want to go?
Let's go to our first interview. And I'm thinking we need to I don't think we're quite ready for a book talk yet. So, let's go talk to someone we've been promising we were going to talk to for a while. Let's talk to a gentleman by the name of Brian Philbin.
I love him.
But you know what? We were going to talk to him, and we did talk to him, prior to podcast number 5. In fact, we were kind of hoping that he could help co-host number 5.
It's like a fine wine. It needs to age and then breathe.
Or in our case, so we got to make sure we get all the pieces and parts to the same place at the same time.
There you go. Well,
that didn't happen until this past week. So we're finally going to take some of that stuff that was him helping co-host number 5, which we didn't end up using for that, and play some of the stuff that he was saying that we think is pretty cool. So let's listen to Brian for a little bit here.
It's the forecast, the barbershop forecast. You're listening to it now.
This is Eric Brixen.
And this is Alan Levigeux, and our special guest host this evening, Mr.
Brian Philbin from Metropolis.
Wow.
Wow, we've got
Brian.
A special guest.
Well, this is
guest,
Brian Philbin from Metropolis.
Who wants to make it very clear that he really has no relationship to the other three guys during the episode of this podcast.
Is that our legal disclaimer? Legal disclaimer?
Yeah, well, I think that was it. I think we kind of said that and we needed to.
If I say anything opinionated, it doesn't necessarily reflect on my guys. Except for James, yeah.
Why only James?
Because he's easy to pick on.
Hey, do you know this song?
I claim no knowledge of that group.
Who was that?
I don't have a clue.
This is great.
I wonder who that group might have been. Hey, you know?
I'm just going to start throwing in songs because, you know, I'm skating
really?
On the edge.
Hey, you know what we need to really talk about why we've got a second or a third host on this evening, and it's because, hey, we've made friends with certain people over the years, and one of our good buddies that we enjoy talking to a lot is a guy by the name of Brian Philbin, who is, of course, the bass of Metropolis.
He's kind of an idol.
Hey, Brian, it's kind of cool to have you on board here.
Hey, so what about the fourth wall? And, you know, top five. Talk to us about the fourth wall a little bit. And be very, you know, some people
okay.
aren't, what fourth wall? I'm listening to a
What's the fourth
iPod. Wall?
Yeah, this is, you know, the fourth wall is kind of an interesting concept. I don't know if you guys are aware that I have a bachelor's in theater.
I wasn't aware of that, actually.
Many people. Okay. Well, anyway, I've always been very interested in what we do as barbershoppers. You know, we're a vaudevillian relic. That's where barbershop quartets were the most popular. We sing songs from the early musical theater back in the days of George M. Cohan and so forth. A lot of our songs come from that era. When you saw a quartet on vaudeville, they're doing pretty much what we're doing now. Standing on the stage, singing for an audience. The only time when the fourth wall really comes in is when you start adopting a character or telling a story that you're involving yourself in. So, you know, there's a lot of audience-performer synergy. And that's one of the things that I think the style thrives on. It's very much like a stand-up comic. You know, stand-up comics, they just thrive on the reaction of the audience. And in general, we really thrive on that a lot. We like to have that interaction. There was actually some talk, I guess, on the Harmonet. Somebody had told me about someone was concerned about a little too much reaction from the audience, you know, maybe interrupting the performers. And for us, that's never an issue.
You know, I love the Harmonet.
But I've heard that, actually, on previous shows. You've never had a rant about the Harmonet.
It was a short rant. Not even once.
It was a short rant.
It was pretty abbreviated, don't you think?
Yeah, it really was. It wasn't bad at all.
Sorry about the background.
Eric likes interrupting people, and I'm worse. So go ahead. What were you saying?
But, you know, a couple of things to keep in mind here. There are styles of acting. There are styles of theater that involve themselves in pretty much any performance. And, you know, to what degree those happen depend upon the performer and what their connection to the audience is. One of the things I love about barbershop, for anybody who ever had an opportunity to, you know, sit close up in a courtatorium or a hospitality room or at Pretty's Corral or anything knows what I'm talking about. Hearing a good quartet close up, there's just nothing like it. And the intimacy that you build with an audience as a performer depends on your ability to, you know, develop that kind of synergy. And they're talking a lot about breaking down the fourth wall. To me, there isn't a lot of fourth wall in barbershop, but what there is, you know, it sounds like, you know, and just the little of, you know, what I've read here and there regarding the fourth wall and all, you know, they're talking about just really small differences in performances in involving the audience in your performance. There's representational and presentational. Representational means that you're putting on a performance on the stage that does not acknowledge the audience, that puts up a fourth wall so that the audience is only looking at you as, you know, like through television or something. Okay.
Yep.
And that's pretty much where television is really where representational stuff pretty much goes on, because they're using real, instead of using, you know, sets and so forth like you do on a stage, they use real locations, they use real people, and they try and represent something that, you know, that exists. On stage, you start getting more toward a presentational form where you're kind of presenting something that isn't really the real thing. You don't put on stage a, you know, if it's a malt shop, you don't go out and buy, you know, a real bar from a malt shop and put it on stage. You build it out of a little bit of plywood and so forth and paint it to look like it's three-dimensional. It's really nice, you know, that kind of thing. From that point, you get more and more presentational. And the most presentational to me is, you know, stand-up comics, barbershop quartets, anything vaudevillian where you're acknowledging the audience is there, where you're practically talking to them. And our performances as barbershop quartets on shows, you know, that really does a lot of the same thing. When you're on stage as a barbershop quartet on a barbershop show, you know, you're doing very much the same thing. You're interacting with the audience. You're talking to them. You know,
don't you think some of that's changed a little bit? I mean,
What do you mean?
Gosh, Boston Commons saying, you know, just so wonderfully. Yet I wouldn't go out and say, hey, did you see the Boston Commons? You know, I mean, I would go to them because I'm a barber shopper and, you know, grew up in it and love it. But not exactly an overly warm, fuzzy, you know, not.
You know what I mean? I disagree with that. Now, I've seen them close up recently, as a matter of fact. We were doing a school with Nightlife and Boston Common, and I'm trying to remember everybody that was there. But we were far from the only quartet there. Anyway, the Boston Common came when they came in. They did a short performance on stage, and I ran down the front row. Me and Rob Menaker and John Sassine and a bunch of the other guys. You know, we all ran down, guys from Uptown Sound. We all ran down the front row to listen to them. They sang one song, and Rob turns to me and he says, let's just sit here and do this all weekend. You know, their entertainment is different than what my quartet does, but
right,
it has its own warmth, its own invitation to become part of what their performance is.
But is it as engaging? And I don't want a Boston Common slam because, you know, again, oh my gosh.
Let me tell you, when you're sitting right there, yes, it is. There's no denying it. There's no way to get around that you're in the presence of something very special. It sounds different. Awake? It's
yeah. I'm here. Unique. I'm just like listening to Brian, listening to the important words coming from, you know, the font of wisdom down there in Southern California.
Sorry, man. Gee. It happens every once in a while. We go. You know. Well, I tell you what. Let's what we're going to do is kind of take a break here. I think this is a good place to take a break and switch up.
It is.
Keep it barbershop.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, I'm like the furthest thing there is from a non-barbershop hater, or for that matter, I'm really not a what you would call a kipper, I guess. I mean, I'm a barbershopper, and I think barbershoppers in general, most of them that I know, have a really eclectic taste in music. I mean, I've sung and played in...
Knowing the taste of music that I have on my iPod, I mean, that's
and the same
wild.
Here, you know, the stuff that I download off of Real Rhapsody. You know, I've sung and played rhythm guitar in rock bands. I've performed in madrigal ensembles, chamber singers, performed everything from Mozart to the Beatles, and I've been in musicals and so forth. And I really enjoy different styles of music. And while I think it is important to preserve our style, I don't think that prohibits us from the barbershop style. I know, you know, particular. I mean, my quartet, you know, when we go out and we do a show, yeah, we do plenty of barbershop, but, you know, we got a little jazzy stuff in there too. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I don't really understand where the idea that there is something wrong with that comes from.
Well, you know, you started talking about, I love the word, the vaudevillian placement of one barbershop. Was huge. Was
and in
the
and of
thing,
itself,
you know?
that was the first variety shows.
I think you said it, or someone said shoehorn.
That was
you can't
me.
Take a piece of music and shoehorn it and make it work.
You really can't do that. I mean, again, I'm not a musician. You know, I mean, I am a musician to a degree, but I'm not a musical scholar. I'm probably not the best guy in the world to talk a lot about this. But yeah, if a melody follows a circle of fifths, definitely, it's, you know, and you know, there are a couple of other minor things that bring it around the barbershop style, but gee, there's a lot of music out there that fits. Yeah. And, you know,
the way that it was performed.
I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot to be said for the manner in which it's performed. But by the same token, I mean, I can go the other side of this too and say, hey, look, is Fascinating Rhythm really a barbershop song? You know, I've heard it sung in contests.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
It, to me, hearing it shoehorned into the barbershop style doesn't fly with me because I'm familiar with the piece outside of that, and boy, it just doesn't doesn't work. But you know, that's me. I you know, when I hear it, I don't hear barbershop. But by the same token, Eric, you were talking a couple shows ago about you know, a song that you thought of as being a doo-wop song being performed in the barbershop style. That song sounded barbershoppy. You know, I really couldn't say that it wasn't barbershop. I, you know, it followed all the earmarks of a barbershop song. It was ringy. It was melodic. For me, it worked.
So what you're saying is it's strictly related to the song, not the familiarity with environment where you've heard it before, if I understand correctly.
I mean, you know, like I say, fascinating rhythm. When I hear it, it doesn't work to me. When I heard, what was it?
Right.
That OC Times sang.
Still of the Night or whatever it was.
No, they sang Put Your Head on My Shoulder.
Put Your Head on My Shoulder. That was one. That worked for me. I heard it before we went out to international. I went, that works. And I was pleasantly surprised. It's not something that I expected, but I like being surprised like that. I have to be honest and say,
I Only Have Eyes for You surprised me when I thought about it
at
first that was a barbershop song. But the more I've heard it, the more I agree that it is.
Well, and when you guys first did that at international a couple of years ago, I had the webcast going on TV, and I'm like, oh, my, what the heck are they doing? My God, what are they doing? You know, totally, because I had heard it. You guys revamped it before you went on stage?
Yeah, the original Bobby Gray arrangement was a little more, you know, had some more jazz chords, but we made sure that it fit barbershop-wise. When I heard that song the first time, I thought, oh, that's a really barbershop-ized version of this song that I've heard from the 50s on. I thought, oh, that sounds really barbershoppy when I heard the Bobby Gray arrangement for the first time. And then, you know, when we talked about making sure that it was really something that fit and Tom Gentry got a hold of it, he made sure that it worked. When the idea first came out, I really didn't know what to think of it. Mike McGee said, what if we did this? And I went, well, you know, I don't know. Is it really possible? You know, we ran it past a few knowledgeable people to see if it was something that worked. And, you know, people who are smarter than I am said yes. And they said, you know, go for it. And Tom is a master at this kind of thing. You know, he understands the barbershop style up, down, and sideways. The arrangement that we have really fits. It's certainly, again, I keep going back to this fascinating rhythm, but it's not fascinating rhythm. So, you know, it must be a little closer, you know.
It's the forecast. You will listen to the Barbershop Forecast. The Forecast.
I love listening to Brian.
He's a great guy.
You know,
he's got a bunch of good points, too.
That tag. That tag sounded nothing like Brian Philbin.
Nothing at all. It was kind of impressive that it sounds nothing like Brian. Because it is anonymous, after all.
Completely 100% anonymous.
Yeah, and we, you know, can't admit that we even know who actually sang that.
I have
but
no idea.
But we do know
idea.
It sounds nothing like Brian.
That's true. Brian sings bass.
Yeah.
He doesn't sing anything else but bass. Basically.
Nope. Basically.
Basically. Pretty much.
So, hey, you know what? I think it's time for some culture. It's time for some culture. That's your cue. So here's your cue. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Literature Review on Forecast. Today we'll be reviewing several publications, the first of which through an interview with our armchair host discussing a book with Mr. Bill Weiser.
Wow, that was much more than I thought you'd do, but thank you. Thank you for joining us on Literature Review. So you want to talk to Bill? Let's talk to Bill. Hey, Bill.
Sounds good.
So I'm sitting here actually in the hotel of, I don't know, down in Pasadena, Far Western District. We're very fortunate to run into a longtime music educator, voice coach, a quartetter. Oh, gosh. And now an author. What else did you do? Quartet? And you direct, right?
Yeah, I direct the Silver Dollar Chorus. I directed high school choirs and bands for 29 years. Musicals.
Musicals?
Up at Tahoe. That was an awesome experience. Musicals in my hometown of Hazleton, North Dakota.
Fantastic. And see, that's, you know, that's the real connection here is... As I come from the Midwest, it's kind of nice to find someone that says, hey there, and, oh, geez, stuff
How
like that.
How you doing?
So tell me, Bill, you just came out with a new book. You just...
Yeah, I teach a technique called colors, singing colors. And people have asked me so many years if I had a book on this stuff. And I never did. And they said, well, why don't you write one? And I said, who would ever read it? And they said, a lot of people would read it. So, and with a lot of goading from a lot of, you know, personal friends and family, I decided to write this book. And it's called Breathe Color Into Your Voice. Because everything starts with the breathing, of course, in singing. And then it works into, for me, the colors within the vowels.
Well, and now I don't know that I've heard of this kind of technique or approach before, really.
You know, I hadn't either.
So is this all you, or what?
Yeah, this is all me. I sat at the piano. I have this voice placement chart, which shows the mouth, the forehead, the bald spot. I call it the bald spot in the head, and then the back of the head where placement can be done with sound. However, some people couldn't grasp that. It was.
Yeah, that's kind of the standard.
That's the standard.
Standard chart that you see.
Mm-hmm. But they were having trouble with that. So then I sat at the piano, and I'd sing through the vowels, and I'd try to figure out what color established that vowel in my head for the resonance, which is the same as that voice placement chart. Uh-huh. And so I came up with these colors, and I came up with what I say is four consistent vowels. Because so many people say, well, there's 16 vowel sounds. I've heard that so many times. 16 to 20 vowel sounds.
Right.
And I'm thinking, there's nobody that can sit around and figure out all these different vowel sounds and not have to go through a lot of stress.
Right.
So I give four vowels. I got an ah, an o, an oo, and an e. Actually, I work it the other way. I start with an e vowel all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to the ah, and then I go to the o, and then I go to the oo. Now, the rest of the sounds that we make as singers, in my mind, are modifieds of one of those. So if you get the shape of an ah,
uh-huh,
you have an ah, no matter what other ah feel is. Like the word of is more but if you sing it it attacks the throat too much. So if you imagine that it's an ah, it lifts off.
Well, so how has this, you know, because in always trends and always catch phrases and buzzwords.
Mm-hmm.
How has, I mean, you and I, you kind of understand where I'm at. I'm to get a chorus to understand 16 vowel sounds.
Yeah, it's insane.
To me, it's nuts.
Yeah.
Now, you've had decent success with your chorus. It's not like your chorus is, when you compete, it's good stuff. You're
it
always in the top.
It keeps coming up. We keep moving up.
Yeah, yeah. So how is that? How have people taken that? How have other educators or directors or barbershop gurus or...
Some of them like the idea. Some of them, of course, have their own thought patterns and they're not going to change. And that's fine. It's just that I know it works.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't want to accept it, that's fine. I'll do it. And some people have grasped onto it. In fact, the music director at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo was spouting my color theory to his students. And he said, this guy in Northern Nevada has this color theory about singing. And he says, it seems to work. All I have to do is say a color when the guys are singing a vowel.
Give an example.
Okay, let's say an O vowel. Let's say the word known. You're coming up on the word known. And I know that the guys are coming up on the word known, and I'll just say, okay, guys, it's going to be orange. Because all O's are orange. If you think orange and you sing that O, your resonance is just going to spin so relaxed and just in the right spot in your head, which associates with the voice placement chart. So if you have artistic people, the color works really well.
Mm-hmm.
If you have engineers, colors don't work, but the voice placement chart does.
Right. So you're attacking a certain group of vocalists that really are visual. I think you just summed it up the best. You know, my brother-in-law, who's an electrical engineer, probably mm-hmm. would do better with just a voice chart.
They do.
Yep. And growing up, that's what I always saw. I always mm-hmm. saw the head with, okay, we're going to put it in mm-hmm. these resonators, or you know, you need to sing up your teeth, or mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me.
So all O's are orange.
All O's are orange. What about
bottom to top of the range? It doesn't change. All O's are warm Caribbean blue.
See, I like that.
All O's are warm Caribbean blue. Some people sing what I call Tahoe blue.
Mm-hmm.
And
is
if
that
anybody,
cold?
And if, well, if anybody's jumped into Lake Tahoe, they know what happens. so you have this tight O.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's a tight O.
When would you use that, though? Like when?
Anytime you sing the word you.
You would be a tight blue.
Well, no, it's a warm Caribbean blue.
Okay, so when would you use a Tahoe blue?
You don't.
Oh, okay.
That's the problem. Most people do. So you have to come up with this idea that, like a hot tub, you go, ooh. When you go into Tahoe, you're going to go, ooh. And that's going to be the tight blue. And it tightens
Shrinkage.
Down your throat. It actually attacks the throat.
Interesting.
It attacks your vocal cords in a downward position rather than allowing the air to come up.
So how long has the book been out?
It's just been out, actually, 1 year today, this month.
And how's it been going? You've been
pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah. I mean, I've got it in some of the bookstores. Barnes & Noble's, of course, if you put it in there, they want too much. Like most of it.
Uh-huh.
And Borders is the same way. So I have it in independent bookstores, and I've sold a lot. I've got it on internet now.
Do you have a website?
I have a website called www.wiservoice.com.
And like Weiser, Budweiser?
Like Budweiser, Weiser, voice, one word, .com.
Cool.
And people can order it on there.
Who have you worked with that people may have seen in the past?
Oh, my. I have a lady named Jackie Ford who used to sing and dance at the MGM down in Vegas, and she's done some New York stuff. Incredible performer.
Uh-huh.
And she's working with me right now, in fact. She came in because she's also a voice teacher,
mm-hmm.
and she wanted to find some new ways to allow her singers and her voice, because she's also trying to get her performance voice better. And so we've been working with it, and she says it's so interesting for her, and it makes her resonance bigger with less effort.
Wow.
See, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
The colors change your resonance to where it's easier on your vocal cords. Because obviously the vocal cords are so small anyway that you can't be putting pressure on them.
Right, right.
So the resonance of the colors takes it away. E vowels are either yellow on the bottom of the range
mm-hmm.
or forest green from the mid-range to the high range. So what's that do? Normally we think of notes, low notes as being dark and high notes as being bright. That's just the human nature.
Right.
But it's actually opposite when you sing. The lower you sing, the brighter you got to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And the higher you sing, the darker you got to sing.
Right.
And
I always used to tell our basses, you know, when you're going down that scale, that and I didn't have color.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do color theory.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always, you know, now we start rotating that sound back.
Mm-hmm.
And this would have worked for some of those guys in a big way.
Especially if you're going down, let's say you got an E vowel.
Right.
The lower you sing into that E, the brighter that better be. So it brings it right up into the forehead, right up in the front of the face.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now as you go higher, that's got to change to a darker color so that it doesn't become strident and harsh and tight, like the Star Spangled Banner when they're singing, or the Land of the Free. Most of the time you're going to hear people try to sing that E and it's yellow and it's very tight.
Yeah.
And it should have been forest green.
So do you have sample pages or anything up on your website? Is it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, because we're going to link that to our site for next month.
Yeah.
So you can get to Weiser Help me out again.
www.wiservoice.com.
Wiservoice.com. Mm-hmm. How much is a book selling for?
$14.95. And it's got a CD warm-up in the back.
That's
there's a warm-up in there. And I talk through the warm-up for you, with you.
Uh-huh.
And you go along, and then if you decide, well, when you buy the book and you decide you'd like a warm-up CD that has the talking separated from the warm-up, you can just contact me and I can get you one of those too. Because I first made the CD and I talked right up to the warm-up. So some people have to fast forward to get to that.
Did you? Is this going to be in the Harmony Marketplace?
I would love it to be in the Harmony Marketplace. I've sent it in I gave it to Joel Isles.
Oh, okay. Great.
To peruse and see if he would put it in.
Fantastic.
So it's been cool. So the other vowel that I have is ah. And ah vowels are yellow on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And red in your mid-range.
Okay.
And purple on your high range.
See, purple.
So I always ask people to describe yellow. And generally the first word out, and I say it, you got to do it in one word. And normally it's bright.
Right.
And that's exactly what it is. Right. So then I ask them, okay, now describe red. Well, a lot of them say fire. I say, okay, what is fire? And they say, well, it's hot. Okay, that's a good word for red. The other thing is a businessman dressed in a navy blue suit and a light blue shirt wears a red tie. Well, what's the reason for that? And it's because it's power. Presidents wear red ties because they're in power. A woman walking into a business meeting wearing a red dress or a red pantsuit will be in charge whether she has anything to say or not. It's just that kind of a color. So now sing me hot and powerful on and off in your mid-range. Takes all the pressure off of the...
Things that roll, things that jump, things that are green. Oh, sorry.
It takes all the pressure off the vocal cords again.
Right.
It shoots the sound up in the top of the head. Okay, then the higher we go, now it's got to go to purple.
Mm-hmm.
Describe purple. Well, it's royalty.
Right.
Kings wear purple robes. It's a rich color. It's not as hot as red, but it's a warm color. It's darker. So now you're going to use the further back in the head, a little bit more in the back of the head. Not forgetting that red just came before that. So you're going to add the red, and then you got your purple just going right on top of that, and it just opens up the cavernous areas of the head, which is the same as a voice placement chart. So, like I said, the colors, it took me a while to figure out the colors. And somebody has asked me, well, how come you can't do a pink E? I said, go ahead and try it. And they can't.
Yeah.
You can't do a pink E. It just doesn't work. Or how come you can't do a line ah? I said, try it. And it doesn't work. It's the weirdest thing.
Very interesting.
I just, you know, it works. It just works so well, and it works for any chorus, it works for any vocalist, it works for any style of music. I really don't care what you're going to sing. If you want to do country, if you want to do rock and roll, if you want to do opera, if you want to do whatever, folk, it all works for all of those.
Cool. But barbershop would be good.
And it works for barbershop really well.
Hey.
For choruses especially.
Yeah.
For choruses especially.
Is it because it's just simpler to understand?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Yep. And like, for, to me, E vowels, there's six modified E's. And I got this in the book. I have a page of planets in the book. And E is the center of the solar system.
Okay.
And then the next E sound out is I, like in if or sit. And then the next vowel sound out from that is eh, like in when. Because you really can't spell eh. And you right. really can't spell eh. I mean, we put these little signs over them that say this is what it is. But when you, in reality, think about it, you can't spell that. We have no sign for that other than this little cutesy little U-shaped thing over the top of the letter. Well, what's that mean?
Yeah.
In reality, what's that mean? And then the next planet out is A. Now, some people say, well, A is A. I said, yes, it is. And I'm not saying they're not different vowel sounds,
right.
but they resonate in the same place as E does. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Where we resonate the vowels. And then the next one out is er, like in twirl, swirl, curl, girl. If you think in terms of singing an E, shaping the E like an E is supposed to be shaped, and then sing through that, that resonance is just there. And it takes out the R feel, too. It eliminates the pressure of R.
See, and I always went a little bit further when I was directing. I always went a little bit further than what I wanted, mm-hmm. hoping that someone would catch, you know, the 70, 60% mark. Mm-hmm. So I would have them, you know, put their tongue on their teeth, mm-hmm. you know,
yep,
just to get,
ease.
Sing that R vowel, you know. Mm-hmm. if you have your tongue in between your teeth, you can't sing, that kind of thing. So,
well, all E vowels have the tongue touching the back of the bottom teeth.
Funny how that goes.
Every E. So E, I, E, A, and now the furthest one out I call Pluto.
Uh-huh.
Because Pluto is the furthest planet out in our solar system, supposedly.
Right, yeah.
So ah, like in can't, back, cat. Some say, well, that's an ah. I said, no, it's not. You
can't.
Say ah. Ah is further back in your mm-hmm, resonators, mm-hmm. and at is further forward. Mm-hmm. So it's closer to an E. I'm not saying that it's an E vowel, but it resonates in the same place E does.
Wow.
So now you've taken care of every vowel you actually sing. You got ah, you got six E's, you got just the O, and you got just an U, based on four vowels.
Fantastic. We're sitting here with Mr. Bill Weiser, chorus director, quartetter, music educator, and now author at the Winston Hotel at Far Western District Convention. Thanks for spending time talking about coloring your voice.
Thank you for allowing me to.
Go to www.wisermusic.com.
Wiser Voice.
Oh, dang it. Wiser Voice.
Wiser Voice.
Go to Wiser Voice. Don't go to Wiser Music because they suck.
Yeah.
Wiser Voice is where you want to be. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
You're on Forecast.
Now this is the show that you know you can hear to give cheer. Listen to Forecast. Forecast. Forecast.
You're on just Forecast. You're listening to Forecast.
So that was, you know, Breathe Color into Your Voice. Bill Weiser. Don't you, what
hey,
do
you know,
think?
I understand one of the cool things is that at least one of the hosts has worked with Bill Weiser before.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I did spend some time with Bill.
And you took some of the lessons, and you really got the color thing, and it's kind of cool.
You know, it's so wonderful because everyone has a different style in education, or in learning, I should say. And sometimes it's a color thing. Sometimes it's a audio. What's the new one I heard? Audio digital is a new kind of thing. I'm a tactile person. I gotta touch and feel. But anyway, shall we continue? What is that number? You know, hey, Harmony Marketplace. Get on this. ISB number is 0-9722-487-7-3. If you Google that and just put ISBN and that number, you're gonna get Breathe Color into Your Voice. Quite frankly, it's worth $180 per copy, or whatever it was. It wasn't $180. Thank you, Bill Weiser, for sitting down and talking to us.
That was really good.
Talking to me.
We've got interview that Eric did by himself.
Wait. That's the last time.
I know. That we'll be getting to later. At the same place. It was also in Pasadena. And we'll get to that like towards the end of this session.
I just dropped it.
But what are we going to do next, Eric?
Well, let us return back to my theme music for more literature review. You know, what's really cool is I got my September-October harmonizer.
Yeah, I did too. Got mine today.
And you just got yours? Oh, you live in the sticks. So
no,
you
September-October, is that the one that, like, past couple days, right?
Yeah, and it's white cover. Kind of freaked me out. I thought it was a catalog
one, yeah.
At first. You know what happens? Yeah, I open the page, and I see Sacramento, where history meets harmony, 2006 midwinter. That's in our backyard, my friend.
Yes, it is.
That is right here.
We will have to be there. I know. And you can buy tickets right now.
Wow, real time. Hey, real time. Men in Black, Max Q, Metro Police, I'm sorry, Metropolis, Riptide, OC Times. Who are those guys? Boy, that's a lot
of
good stuff. That's page one. That's just the first. That's open the cover. Wow, look at that. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I took time, real quick time. I got some little things here. Page 10. Did you see this? And you thought it was just the presentation judges who called you zombies. Some video games got a barbershop quartet in it. Did you see that?
I did see it.
The world's deadliest barbershop quartet.
I am just waiting for the stuff on the Harmonet where people are complaining about that, saying we got to boycott the game.
It's, oh, I mean, for the love of Pete.
Come on, people, get a life if you this can't laugh at yourself.
This is a game featuring, and we quote, an undead hero who eats brains, tosses his own innards like cherry bombs, and still makes time for the ladies. You got a barbershop quartet in there. Who says barbershop's not hip?
There you go.
Let's see what else here.
All kinds of
Let's
stuff.
Let's see. Oh, page. This is cool. Page 20. Everything old is new again. Replica recording. How cool is that? Did you read this? Do you read? You know how to.
I do read, but I don't have a clue what you just said because you cut out right then.
Oh, I said everything old is new again. Replica recording. These guys are doing recordings with like normal technology, including original 1917 transcriptions with vocal features of Barbershop Quartet.
Huh.
That's just fantastic. Very cool.
Cool.
Is it me or is the harmonizer getting better?
It is. And you know what?
Got a better
I think
look.
The next episode of the harmonizer is going to be even better because I know a little small part article that we were just told was going to be in there.
Really?
That's the highlights of this podcast.
Oh, fantastic. I love the harmonizer.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
The guy by the name of Brian Lynch is doing a wonderful job.
Hey, and catch
that.
Us
we love you, Brian. Yeah. Eventually, we're going to have to get you on to here so we can ask you about, you know, how come you didn't put us on the harmonizer earlier. But
yeah.
In general, this
dude,
is cool.
What's up with that? You know, actually, we've got Time with Brian coming out in the spring. A different Time with Brian, different Brian. But we're going to talk about some international stuff with Brian, and that'll be cool. Here's my sappy barbershop moment for the night, okay? Because you join these hobbies, or these hobbies. I know it's just a hobby. One night a week, honey, really. You know, we join these things, and we meet people, and we have these extended families. You know, have you noticed
yes.
that? This becomes such a family affair. And I just happen to look in the... this stopped me cold in my feet, because I remember, and it seems like yesterday, my first Tuesday night with my dad back in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And I just happened to check page 38, and it's chapter Eternal. And good gravy, Malin Ender, who is a guy that I met, who it stuns me that it's been 20 years. And Malin passed away. I didn't know that Malin passed away. So that's kind of a rough deal. But my this family, you lose time. So I guess That's my point. You know what I'm thinking?
What's that?
I'm going to go get some water. Hey, press that button, would you?
Oh, this one over here? The one that took me forever to learn how to press last time?
Yeah, the one the one right over
there.
Over there.
Hello, Forecast listeners. This is Raymond Davis with another tag for you. This is from a song called Fancy You, Fancying Me, a song that my quartet Q was going to learn, but we never did. But I did a tag for it, and this is it. The lead goes like this. It's the wildest fantasy, simply divine, to know you're so fine and all mine. And you basically just hold that out to the end. The tenor goes like this. Wildest fantasy, simply divine, to know you're so fine. Mine, my sweet Valentine, your love is so fine, and you're mine, all mine. The baritone sounds like this. Wildest fantasy, simply divine, to know you're so fine. Angel divine, you're mine. Your love is so fine, and you're mine, all mine. And the bass sounds like this. Wildest fantasy, simply divine, to know you're so fine. Mine, my sweet Valentine, your love is so fine, and you're mine. Oh, time. Put them all together, and they'll sound just like this. It's the wildest fantasy, simply divine, to know you're so fine, and all mine.
Hey, we forgot something. We forgot something.
Yeah,
wait,
you did.
Wait.
Something really, really major. You know what? This is not just a little bit major. This is really major.
This is huge.
Harmony College is going back to St. Joseph.
Come on, sing it with us. You know you want to. Yes, that's for all of the men's International Barbershop Harmony Society, Babs. Everyone wanted to go back to Harmony College at where? St. Joe's, my goodness. And they're there. That's awesome. Yay! Or as many people would say.
Now, the good thing is that...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I pressed the wrong button. It's in the middle of the chorus now, so it's not as fun.
One of the cool things is they're actually like expanding it even more, and it's not Harmony College anymore. It's now Harmony University. So all kinds of stuff.
Harmony...
And you know who's going to be there? Real Time. You know why Real Time is so cool? Because a little over a week and a half from now, we're supposed to be talking to him.
What?
You and I have an interview. You know this. You and I have an interview. But...
Okay, but we're going to speak with champions. They're nice guys.
No, it was all good. It was these guys are good
guys.
I
wonder if they do weddings. Anyway, hey, you know what? You've got an incredible.
Now that they've won, I wonder if they're ready to, you know, start looking around for another quartet.
You never know. You never
forgot. So if you've got a question you want to ask them, send it away. By the time you get this thing, send us an email asking a question. We have a bunch of good questions that came in, and we'd love to get more because, you know, we got a whole hour with them, and, you know, you don't want to be bored listening to the same questions we always ask everybody.
That's true. So you know what time it is, though?
I'm guessing... It's
time to go back to literature review with me.
Ah.
What are we going to talk about? I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. The inner game of music. So, hey, take a... You know, it's just a nice... This is a nice thing for performers out there. You got a couple choices. You can either do inner game or get drugged up. And so why don't you just hit pause or hit play and go get yourself a nice tall glass of something and take a listen to this interview from Pasadena with Dr. Greg Line.
You're a lucky person because you're listening to the Forecast. Forecast.
Well, fantastic. We're here in Pasadena. I keep forgetting where I'm at.
It's Pasadena.
Pasadena with Far Western District Contest. And great time. And it's so wonderful because we run into people that I just... don't always expect to run into, and I was fortunate enough to run into Dr. Greg Line on the street corner, and you're here.
Yeah.
So thanks for agreeing to sit down and talk with us real quick before you head out.
Glad to do that. This has been an enjoyable weekend. Great chorus contest and some excellent quartet singing.
Yeah.
Always nice to come back to Far Western District. I somehow feel like it's my home district in spite of the fact I was only here for about 10 years. It's always warm and beautiful and lots of open and receptive barbershoppers.
Now, you directed Masters of Harmony.
I did.
And it took them to how many golds?
Three.
Three golds.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many other choruses? Now, are you currently directing again?
I have a chorus now. Mm-hmm. They're in the Chicago area, a suburb of Chicago called Schaumburg.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's still a small chorus, mm-hmm. but we're having fun. And
is that the Great American Chorus?
Well, no, it's a chorus called the Brotherhood of Harmony.
Okay.
They are a wild card this year.
Great.
Or at least I think they will be. It appears that they probably will be. Nice men.
Mm-hmm.
I have two excellent directors that... I'm within the chorus. I'm hoping to turn the reins over to very soon.
Now, how many years have you been a society member? How long has it been?
Since 62.
62.
For about 43 years.
Wow. Fantastic. Yeah. And when did you receive your doctorate?
1976.
Wow. Yeah. I was four.
You were four? I was older than four.
Good thing.
I was pretty fairly young to receive the degree, I suppose.
Fantastic. So how, you know, as we kind of talked about earlier, I really want to talk about two things with you, and one of them's a vacuous topic being excellence in barbershop, because if there's anyone who gets it, for the lack of a better term, you know, I've been in since 85, and I've always known who you were.
Interesting.
Harmony College, for me, when you directed, where do you hear, how do you, you know, I know it's so vacuous, but it seems that everything that you touch in the directing world does wonderful things.
Well, you're very kind. I believe in the hobby, first of all, and in the power of, and joy of music. Mm-hmm. It always gives back in huge qualities if you give a lot to it. And so much of it is just wanting to share and let others grow as a result of having taken part in this thing. Mm-hmm. If a singer feels good about himself, if he feels that he's making good choices, that inspires him to do more. So, I mean, there are some, you know, some basic understandings that a singer must have, and that a singer must, ways that a singer must approach music to make it musical. So, again, part of the joy is allowing people to come to those conclusions about what music making is, and once they begin to own that process, then wonderful things can happen, and you know, people catch fire.
And you've traveled the world doing this, haven't you?
I have.
And I think I just saw, are you doing something in Russia again coming up?
I just got back from Russia, late August. That festival over there is most exciting thing. Performance venues are the top performance venues and amongst the top in Europe.
Wow.
Philharmonic Hall, St. Petersburg Conservatory of Music, Capella Hall, Rose Pavilion in Pavlovsk. I mean, unbelievable venues. The people there absolutely embrace barbershop. Mm-hmm. Every concert is totally sold out. You have to turn people away every event.
Really?
So it's really unusual. You almost feel like, one almost feels like they're a rock star when they're in Russia. They really value barbershop singing, and barbershop singing is done by professional singers rather than the amateur singer. They have, they don't understand amateurs singing, really. They don't have such a thing. If you're a singer, you're a professional singer.
That's what you do?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're mostly conservatory students and music teachers, voice teachers. So it's just a different look at things.
Yeah, because here, especially growing up in the society, and my sister holds a master's in music, and I was fortunate enough to marry into a family that is also very musical. Mm. You know, barbershop is not always viewed as, you know, my sister
top
would say,
of the mark.
Oh, yeah, it's, yes. Well, it's barbershop.
Yes, that's true, and we probably would both agree that that's unfortunate, and we know that we're making some inroads. I find that the best choral people have great regard for barbershop, good barbershop singing. Mm-hmm. I find that good choral people value any singing that's good, and probably are not as interested in singing that is not of a certain quality. So that would encourage us as members of the Barbershop Harmony Society to sing at a very high level at all times and understand our craft before we take it out.
Which is not... I don't think it's always been that well. At least, you know, when you see four guys on a lamppost, I mean, people still to this day see that.
Well, there's There are all different ways that one can enjoy barbershop. Mm. But if we're going to present it to musicians, then it needs to be of high quality. If it's just for our own enjoyment and enrichment, mm-hmm. then let it be chamber music and do it in a smaller site where you and three other people can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you were talking about the vocalist feeling good about themselves and making good choices and being in Russia and having these incredible venues to sing at. How you co-authored Inner Game of Barbershop.
Yes. With Larry Agin.
With Larry Agin.
Mm-hmm.
How can you kind of give a little thumbnail sketch, because some people have not read it and people get very anxious and there's a lot of angst. Last night, I got to admit, I was not the most contained person on
yes.
stage. But how does that work? We've seen Inner Game of Music and then the adaptation to Barbershop.
Right. Well, it started with the Inner Game of Tennis, of course, with mm-hmm. Tim Galway, an outstanding book. Just an outstanding book. And then Barry Green adapted the same concepts, plays with the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, at least did.
Mm-hmm.
And he adapted that to music, and then Larry and I became taken with the thinking and the precepts, and so we adapted it then for our style of singing.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing of the Inner Game, and it's just difficult to summarize it in the shortest form, mm-hmm. but is that the performer allow the best of himself or herself to come to the fore and to not have a judge inside the brain saying, oh, be careful of this high note. Gosh, are you going to make it to the end of the phrase?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to sing high enough on that particular pitch? Those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Finding ways to get that evil judge
right.
out of the mind and the soul and the spirit of the performer, so that he or she can contribute their most artistic efforts. Finding ways to find enjoyment and relaxation in the actual process of music learning and music making.
It's so hard to let go. It's so, at least for me, and I can only speak on my behalf, it's so hard for me to not have that.
It is.
Last night I felt pretty good in that I wasn't thinking like, I will admit there was a place where I thought, okay, if I can get through this passage and, pop
yes.
through my passaggio, I know it'll all be fine
right.
and everything else can be good.
Well, it is those interferences
mm-hmm.
that get in the way of our being able to bring our best to a performance. And it's finding ways to allow yourself to get beyond those through role playing, through understanding the concept so well mm-hmm. inside yourself that you're comfortable with the concepts that are necessary to good performance. And it's probably true that the best teachers utilize principles as espoused in the Inner Game books
mm-hmm.
To inspire students to become the best they can be.
Do you do it a lot with your courses?
I think I do.
Without letting them know that you're...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Try to find ways to let them find the answer so that they make the concept their own
mm-hmm.
and do it because they want to.
Mm-hmm.
I may have things that I want them to learn, but I would like to try to teach through the back door rather than saying, this is good for you, you need this,
yeah.
do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because learners don't respond so well to that.
Right.
If I can encourage them to have their goals be my goals, then we both win.
Right.
If I impose my goals upon them, I don't win, and they won't choose to follow.
So are you coaching a lot these days?
I am.
Now that you're No longer full-time with the society, so are you traveling?
Traveling a lot.
Quartets and
coaching and doing some, conducting some festivals, doing some Young Men in Harmony things, a few.
Mm-hmm.
Doing lots of work with choruses and chorus directors, and yeah, I have trips coming up to Europe, and looks like a New Zealand trip's coming up, and then
really?
Australia, and so lots of opportunities.
When do you is there a group that you like to work with more, meaning chorus or quartet? Do you?
Well, I'm so at home with choruses,
mm-hmm.
and I love quartets too. But you know, my choral background. That's what I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I like working with music in any form. But yeah, I like choruses.
What's your favorite? Is Russia your favorite trip?
Oh, that's just such a spectacular trip. Yes, I love that.
And when do you go again?
I go next August.
Do you do it year annually?
It's yearly. We've done it 6 years, and the festival keeps growing. And
mm-hmm.
I just love the people over there. They're wonderful people.
And you normally take a quartet or two with?
Yeah, we always take choruses and quartet.
Mm-hmm.
Next year we got Metropolis. We have the Richmond Men Chorus. And we're going to have a ladies chorus. It'll be directed by a good friend of mine named Jack Pinto. Mm-hmm. He'll have ladies from all over the society, or from all over the U.S. singing.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun.
Wow.
And we've got Real Time going the following year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And you had Gas House Gang go.
Yes, they were excellent. Oh. Revival was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You had Ritz. We've had Metropolis before.
Metropolis, weren't they billed as Metro Police?
Yes, Metro Police. That's exactly
fantastic.
Right. Yeah, it's great.
Well, I would love to hit one of those when I'm done with grad school.
That would be wonderful.
Get over and do that. I really appreciate you taking time to
the pleasure.
Talk about this. Yeah. Talk to you again.
I'd like that.
Thanks.
You have been listening to Literature Review with Forecast. We hope you've enjoyed this programming and know that it'll probably never happen again.
So what do, Alan? You get drugged? You get liquored up? Inner game? What do you do?
I do not. I don't drink anything before singing.
You should consider water.
Water, you know, as you know.
I've seen you drink grape juice.
I don't drink
grape juice. Welch's grape juice.
I do grape Gatorade, actually, is my favorite.
You're nuts.
But even then, I stopped that 45 minutes to an hour before going on stage.
Your mom gave me probably the biggest and best hint that I, or guidance that I've ever given.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness, eat an apple before you go out on stage. 10, 15 minutes.
A banana.
Oh, it's
a banana.
An apple. Because the enzymes produce really thin out the mucus or whatever. But wow, yeah. Pat LeVizu says eat an apple.
Cool.
So go do that.
She also told me that banana was probably the best thing. So
always got to one-up me. Don't you? It's my mom.
Yep.
Let's see.
Well.
You know, so we did that. Did a little checklist. That looks good. Things are good. Harmonizer, Greg. Oh, you got I think we're pretty good here.
Yeah, you know, we should probably talk about some of the stuff that's coming up besides Real Time, which is coming up on the next one. We've got more of the discussion with Brian Philbin.
Love him.
It'll be on one of the future ones coming up.
You know what we didn't do this
good
time
guy.
That we were going to do?
We've got an interview with Jim Turnmeyer.
No, we didn't do that
yet. Which we have in the can, and we got to put that. No, we're not going to do that this time because we don't want to make this one as long as the last two were.
Yeah, so what are you saying, Jim, is you didn't make it. Sorry.
What it means is that we're going to try and... No, I don't want to say we're going to try and get it out sooner because every time I've said that, it hasn't happened. So it's like stupid to even
think
about
it. We didn't put on this show that we were going to, but bizarrely enough, I was almost trumped. Thank goodness we recorded it first because we did not talk about what is today's modern barbershopper wearing. That's true.
That's
and
true.
We have.
And you're right. We were almost.
Cutting edge, baby. Cutting edge.
That's right. We talked about that last time, and then someone brought it up on the Harmonette and talked about how someone's girlfriend is embarrassed watching...
Get a new girlfriend,
seeing
bro.
Barbershoppers wear.
Get a new girlfriend.
Yep.
And you know what else we got coming up? This is going to be a crowd participation too here. Ready for this? You ready? Because you know what time it is. That's right. It's time for the Quartet Shuffle. Who's singing with who? Who's breaking up? Where are we going today? If anybody knows, got to give us a call. Let us know at Forecast, www.4-cast.tv. Yes, it's that time of year. It's that time of year where quartets start shaking around. And, you know, I heard a rumor. I don't know if it's true or not. I've Kevin Miles is singing with someone.
I've heard several rumors.
But nevertheless, send us any note that you have if it's true. I don't necessarily want to hear Tony DeRosa is going to be singing with Joe Conley and I don't know. They did that once or twice. But nevertheless, you know what time of year it is? Quartet shuffle time. Come on down. New quartets. Okay. I'm done with that. I'm done with that. We got nothing. This is it. You know what we have time to do? It's the last thing. Cue music now for exit, by the way. Special thanks out to Jason Warshower for the Kibber Alarm, Gabe Coretto, and, who else do we got? Raymond Davis for singing on those tunes. Thank you guys very much for your participation. And if you got, you know what? If somebody else has got a new forecast, it's a forecast. Not that I'm bagging on anyone.
A new
send
tag.
Send one in. Yeah. We'd love to hear it.
One that doesn't sound like Brian Phil.
I would love to hear a women's quartet and my German tag hopefully coming next week. But until next time,
I know.
It's getting recorded this weekend. I got my German singing guy.
And I actually brought mine to quartet rehearsal and it sucked. So
oh, there you go. Well, thank you for spending your time, because with your time and my time and I almost said Rainer's time, but Alan's time, it's been a lot of time.
Yes, it has. Thank you guys.
Later.
Talk to you later.
Score and part and beg for more from all the knowledge you've amassed.
We bet you
will be a guest, because it downloads to your hard drive mighty fast. So strike up the band and give them a hand for Eric and Alan's Barbershop. It's unsurpassed, and here at last, the Barbershop Forecast.